Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're going to take a detour from mostly UFOs this week, a little bit later in the show. But right now, we want to just take a moment or two to observe the passing of a fellow traveler, and I mentioned him briefly in last week's episode. It's a small universe of people who have produced paranormal radio year after year, and a lot of us are a little bit older than we used to be. I expect I'm in the same age group as Art Bell or George Norrie, or, as a matter of fact, our friend Don Ecker. So we never know. Of course, we have these young, up-and-coming whippersnappers like Christopher O'Brien.
Jeez. Wow, I don't feel young.
Well, speak for yourself, my friend.
Yeah.
But I know you were on the show every so often, Kevin Smith, and he has been doing online radio since the early 2000s, kind of a little bit before I got into the game with the Tech Night Owl Live. He was treated in the hospital for a heart condition. And then when he left the hospital, he was seized and he didn't survive. An unfortunate thing, because the guy wasn't all that old. You know, if a person doesn't live to 110 these days, I think they could have hung around for a few more years, like Jim Moseley. Anyway, Kevin Smith is no longer with us, but you knew him and you were on his show.
Yeah, actually, I was one of his first guests way back in, I think it was 2004, 2005. Kevin, you know, was a pretty interesting guy, and I think a fairly up to speed host for the width and breadth of subject matter that these types of shows, Kevin's show, our show, Coast to Coast, you really have to, you know, have a bit of research kind of chops under your hat. And Kevin managed to I think stay ahead of the curve in a lot of the subject areas, and I thought he was a very good radio host and had a very interesting background, spent a lot of time overseas. I think he trained law enforcement officers actually overseas at one point. And, you know, I did do a show on quite a number of occasions and always had a good time. He seemed a little bit entrenched in a particular reality view, but, you know, after you've been exposed to this stuff for the amount of years that he had, and of course, you and I have, Gene, you do tend to lose a little bit of your objectivity, I think. I think you make up your mind in some ways, shapes and forms. And Kevin was like that. But I recall the last time I was on his show, he kept insisting that Pakal, King Pakal Votan, of course, who is the Mayan king riding the rocket ship in the famous von Däniken interpretation. You know, I've been to Palenque a number of occasions. I'm very familiar with the archaeology of the spot. And I had a hard time talking to him that Pakal was not 8 feet tall. He was under 6 feet tall. And he just, I was wrong and he was right. So, you know, I mean, Kevin was kind of like that. He was pretty definitive in his particular beliefs and stuff. And that's okay. I thought he made a very great radio host, was very gracious, and he'll be sadly missed, I think. He had a lot of fans out there.
But anyway, we're certainly sad to see one of our fellow travelers no longer with us. Our best to his family and his friends. And there you go, Kevin Smith. No relation, by the way, to the one in show business, the other Kevin Smith. I know when you try to look him up online, that gets to be rather confusing.
Yeah, it's a rather common name, but Kevin was an uncommon guy. I really did enjoy doing his show, and you know, I didn't do it too many times, half a dozen or so. But over the years, I you know, touched bases with him, and we did talk on the phone from time to time and compare notes. And you know, he was a really nice guy. I remember when he visited Sedona about 3 or 4 years ago. We had a nice talk, and he seemed pretty excited about how his show was going. And you know, again, you're right, Gene. It's really sad when we lose people, you know, too soon. Kevin, I think, had a lot of life, and you know, it's too bad that we're not going to be able to see where he was going to take his show and some of the things that he was investigating and researching.
And I have to be honest with you, I wasn't terribly familiar with the show. I hadn't listened to it. And not because I'm trying to be a big muckety-muck or anything, or an egomaniac. The thing is here, I am so busy with my two shows, this one and the Tech Night Out Live, and my writing and research, I don't have time to listen. to other shows. No criticism intended. I just don't have the time. Speaking of making time to do things, you, of course, are taking valuable time away from a certain book that you're writing, Stalking the Herd. I want to understand this because you mentioned this on last week's episode with Mr. Fox, and that is you had to go back to, was it New Mexico, because something you had assembled, some material, disappeared or you left it there?
Yeah, and that was kind of a strange, I still haven't figured out what happened. I ended up missing about 5 pounds of research that I had, you know, combed through and selected over, gosh, over a week. And I got home, opened my bag, and it was gone. I never saw it from the time that I packed it at my brother's house to the time that I opened it up, expecting to see it, see the file, and start going through it very excitedly. You know, I spent quite a bit of time combing through probably the largest database related to the unexplained livestock death phenomenon, David Perkins' library. And much to my, just absolute joy and thankfulness, he spent an entire day recreating and recopying everything that I had lost. So I've finally back in the driver's seat again with, the majority of the material that ended up missing. One of the things that really kind of was a little irking was all the police reports that Greg Valdez, who, of course, we had on 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he supplied me with copies of all his dad's cattle mutilation official police reports, and those I haven't replaced. It's just one of those things, you know, you just don't know. I'm not really prone to, flying off into paranoia and conspiracy and all that. But it is a little strange that the material disappeared and that I was kind of held up from taking the first bus in the morning, had to wait 5 hours to take the second bus in the afternoon, and come to learn that they had overbooked the first bus by 11 people, which is unheard of in the bus business.
I thought they only did that with airplanes.
Exactly. You don't oversell bus seats.
Oh, boy. What kind of... You had to stand all the way, I bet, like a New York subway. Seriously, how long a trip is it?
Well, it's only 5.5 hours from Albuquerque to Flagstaff, which is, where the closest that the bus will stop. I'm south about an hour from Flagstaff, But I guess the story has a happy ending. I'm sitting here looking at maybe 4 pounds of material that I'm compiling the hardest chapter of the book, the 1970s and the thousands of cases that were reported, some legit, some not, with the hysteria that swept the Midwest and Rocky Mountain states in 74, 5, and 6. Very, very dense, very difficult chapter to write. And the only real go-to guy in this particular time period for these cases is David Perkins, hence my trip there. But I did make a trip up to Colorado here this last weekend. And, boy, we sure had a lot of sightings up in the San Luis Valley. There were 5 in 2 days that I was up there. And I'm happy to say that we're well on the way of getting our second camera up for this San Luis Valley camera project, and we finally finalized the details for a high-speed internet connection for the entire system, which is a major, major hurdle that we've been struggling with.
Once we do that, by the way, to make a long story short, once we do that, we'll try to work out a way to present it on Chris's site. It's not an easy thing because some of the techniques we're going to try are no longer being done. So I suggested an HTML5 solution, which may mean nothing to anybody, but maybe it'll work. This week we will focus on something other than UFOs, or at least I don't think it has anything to do with UFOs, and that is the Van Meter Visitor. And the subtitle of this book from Chad Lewis, Noah Voss, and Kevin Lee Nelson is A True and Mysterious Encounter with the Unknown, the Van Meter Visitor. Is it a Mothman in the Midwest? More to come with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space.
but the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Hey, all you Dead Doctors Don't Lie fans, this is Justin Baker. If you missed the Doc Wallach seminar in January right here in Santa Cruz, then now is your chance to see him again. Dr. Wallach is going to be doing a Central California health tour the first weekend in September 2013. You'll have four opportunities to attend his world-renowned health lecture, which is helping people from around the globe reverse disease. Doc will be at the Pacific Cultural Center at 1307 Seabright Avenue in Santa Cruz on Tuesday, September 3rd. The doors open at 6:30 p.m. On Wednesday, September 4th at 6:30 p.m., we will be in Modesto at Soul Harvest Worship Center, 4718 Greenleaf Court, followed by two lectures on Thursday, September 5th at 10:30 a.m. at Mosswood Park Great Hall at 3612 Webster Street in Oakland. And the last event of the health tour will be in Sacramento the evening of September 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the Church of Scientology at 1007 6th Street. Don't miss these life-changing events. Seating is limited, so contact me today at 831-331-9523. That's 831-331-9523 to reserve your free VIP seats.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
So probably we're not going to talk about UFOs today. I know some people write us and say, why is it always UFOs? And part of that is because I came up from the UFO field. Chris is a counterbalance because he's covered cattle mutilations and all sorts of other stuff, ghosts and things like that. We've also done shows about strange creatures. We had one show where we devoted a long segment to the Flatwoods Monster. But with Chad Lewis today, and he's one of the authors of the Van Meter Visitor, we're talking about what? Is this like a batwing creature? Or, Chad, is this a Mothman in the Midwest? Tell me more.
Yeah, we certainly don't know. It may be the predecessor to the Mothman that appeared in West Virginia in the 60s. What we know is that it's an 8-foot giant bat-like creature with large featherless wings that has this blunt horn sticking out of its forehead.
Oh, well, I don't want to meet up one of those in the dark alley here, I'll tell you.
Right. It has a lot of similarities to the Mothman, but also some differences that I've never encountered before in my research of strange creatures.
Like the glowing horn.
Yeah, it has this glowing horn. It also has the ability to emit some strange odor that seems to wipe away the memory of those who encounter this odor. So, again, it has several similarities, but many differences as well.
All right, the amnesia capability. Now, that's wacky. I haven't heard of that before. And, of course, I haven't studied all the cases on the universe, but is that unique, the ability to cloud people's minds so they can't see them? It sounds like the shadow. Maybe the Van Meter visitor was an influence of the shadow.
Yeah, also, it seems to fit more in ufology and UFO reports of alien abduction, where abductees report not only having their missing time or missing memories, but also false memories, a memory of seeing a giant 4-foot squirrel or a rabbit with these large black almond eyes. So it's almost as though these beings put the memory into the abductees. So it's very similar to that on those aspects.
Well, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves here a little bit, Chad. Let's take it back and set the stage about the town. Give us a little bit of background of what was going on there. Of course, talk about the mine and other important, pertinent elements that actually figure prominently later on in the story, especially the initial sightings on the rooftop. So why don't we take it to the beginning? Why don't you give everyone a bit of a setup here in the background?
Imagine it's 1903, and you're in rural Iowa. You're about 20 miles southwest of Des Moines in a small town called Van Meter, which was about 900 residents, mostly farmers. They had the typical couple saloons, a small hotel. When you think of a rural Iowa town, you're probably thinking of Van Meter. So nothing out of the ordinary happened there very often. And it wasn't until about 1 a.m. one evening when a local implement dealer was coming back into town when he noticed a ball of light hovering over the building. He thought it was a burglar, which was an obvious choice back then. So he proceeded with caution, but as he got close to this ball of light, it simply disappeared and then reappeared directly across the street and then disappeared into the night before he could even investigate it. And he really didn't think anything of it. He told a few people about it the next day, but again, it was just a ball of light hovering over a building, probably just a prowler or burglar. So it started off really slow.
After this, what happened next once he saw this thing for the first time?
Sure. As far as he knew, it was a ball of light. He talked about it to other residents the next day. But that next evening, about 1 a.m. again, a local doctor who was sleeping above his office in the same building that he worked in, he was woken up by a bright light blinding in his office window. And the newspaper said that he grabbed his gun and ran outside where he saw what he reported to be this half-human, half-animal with giant bat-like wings and the horn protruding from its forehead. And this guy blasted at close range 5 shots at this beast. And when he noticed that he either missed or the bullets had no effect, he saved the last bullet, I think, for himself. And he ran back into the safety of the apartment he was in. And he waited for daylight to arrive.
I know it's interesting here, the shoot first, ask questions later kind of belief. Is that common among cases that involve strange creatures in that particular point in time?
We have to remind everybody we're talking about 1903.
Yeah, 1903 rural Iowa. If you were afraid of burglars coming after you, most of the townsfolk probably were armed and they would shoot. Because if you were foolish enough to try to rob these places, you were foolish enough to deal with the consequences. So I didn't think it was that outrageous for the doctor to start blasting at something that was coming into his home or his office. And certainly he felt threatened enough to unload his weapon on it.
So it wasn't affected, was it?
No, like I said, either he missed all five, which he shot at less than 15 feet away, or this thing was impervious to the human weapon. I don't know, but it had no effect whatsoever. And that's what I think really spooked him, is that he ran back and retreated because he realized that his weapon was just of no use whatsoever.
How did you find out about this case? Give us a little background on what prompted you to do the amount of digging that you did. And this is not easy research to do going back over 110 years. This is pretty rarefied realm in paranormal investigation in terms of research. How did you find out about it?
My co-authors, Noah Voss and Kevin Nelson, we were planning a legend trip into Iowa to explore some of the best paranormal cases. And we had a lot of good stuff lined up, a cemetery where a black angel of death, if you go in there at midnight, you'll die. We had an old abandoned town where a werewolf-type creature was said to prowl. But we were missing that one anchor that would just make it an amazing legend trip. So I started going through my old files, and I had done a series of books from the late 1800s, early 1900s, which looked at old newspaper accounts per state, where it would be anything from bizarre deaths to peculiar people to haunted homes. And these all occurred around 1800s, early 1900s. And years ago, I had done several months of this research for Iowa, all the old Iowa newspapers. But like a lot of things, it got pushed on the back shelf for something else. So I thought I would just start flipping through these old files and maybe something would pop up. And that's when I was flipping through and I saw this article about Des Moines' new monster. The paper had it wrong. It was Van Meter, but close enough. And I thought right away, reading about this mysterious beast, that it was going to be an easy case to solve. I would just make a few calls and find out that this was a hoax or something else. But I soon found out after calling the local librarian, Jolena Welker, that this case was still going. It wasn't forgotten. It was just nearly hidden. So that's really what began digging.
We'll dig into more of this. The Van Meter visitor. Who and what was it? Kind of strange, isn't it? Chad Lewis joining us, one of the co-authors of the book, with Gene and with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hi there. My name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123coverup.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are, incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up, and you will be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123coverup.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123coverup.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123coverup.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's 123coverup.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I was thinking, neighbors, that maybe Chris O'Brien would bring out one of his flying monster kind of voices, but then what kind of voice do you bring out for a flying monster? Chad Lewis joins us, one of the co-authors of The Van Meter Visitor. So you're on a trip to find paranormal events, and you got, I guess, more than you bargained for, huh?
Yes, and this was very difficult because when we went to town, we had the original newspaper accounts, but that was it. There was no historical society either today or in 1903 in Van Meter. Of course, all of the witnesses have long passed on. Many of their family members have moved out of the area or they're no longer around themselves. So we really had to start from scratch. And I think that's what made it interesting for me is that this was practically an unheard of case that we had to really dig up from scratch.
Let's look at the mechanism of doing this research. Newspaper clippings at the time, much pay dirt there?
Yes. Luckily, the newspaper of the time listed every single witness in the newspaper. So we were able to go back and dig these people up through other newspaper accounts and find their photos and the town history a little bit that existed. And what I was amazed at right away was the fact that all of these witnesses were the most prominent people in town. It was a doctor. It was the postmaster. It was a gentleman who became the mayor. It was a principal. So these were not, you know, the town drunks or those that might be open to embellishing a bit. These were men that put their reputation on the line for this story. And back in 1903, your reputation was all you had, because if you were selling in your business and somebody found out you were seeing 8-foot giant bat creatures, they might not put a lot of faith into you running the local bank.
I wouldn't think so. I certainly wouldn't think you want to put those people on the police force either. Okay, so we look at the newspapers of the time. Now, how far and wide did these stories spread? Because obviously we didn't have the worldwide communication we had today. So was it confined just to the locality and the regional area or a wider range?
Well, what I found interesting is the original accounts were only reported in the Des Moines papers. Outside of that, even the county paper just 10 miles north of Van Meter did not cover the story. It was the Des Moines paper that did it. Then it got picked up on what would be, you know, the Associated Press today. And it was all over from New York all the way over. I even had a report of it in my local hometown paper of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But what I found interesting is that although the reports basically rewrote the original article, many times they got the names mixed up. They got some of the witnesses interchanged. So it wasn't quite as accurate as we believe the original article was.
That's an interesting thing, too, because it makes it more difficult to get to the source information. So in general, when it was picked up by other newspapers and they embellished upon the original stories, how so? What did they change?
Well, I think they made a lot of the sightings goofy. What they did with that is turn this terrifying bat-like creature that, by all means, the town of Van Meter was in an uproar about into more of some of the drawings and the illustrations, give it more of a cartoonish, fun bat look to it. They also implied that the townsfolk had lost their minds or maybe they were taking too much moonshine in. So the typical jokes that you kind of get when dealing with these creature sightings, even today.
Yeah, little green alien jokes and the whistling the Twilight Zone theme.
Yeah, that was going on back then, 1903. That's what I found a little bit discouraging is that nobody took this report seriously. And as far as we've been able to tell, there were no follow-up investigations into the events that took place during this week. It's as though they recorded it in the article and then, well, good luck with that.
That isn't very helpful. But that's always a situation. So, of course, in looking up something like this, getting the newspaper clippings you can get. Now, do you contact the descendants of the original witnesses to see if there are diaries or other paper trails about this?
Yes, we try to find everybody that's associated with either a witness or even townsfolk. And we were able to find some old-timers who obviously were not around during the sighting, but they were around early enough to know some of the witnesses that they would remember when they were kids that these men were prominent men still in the community. So when we talked to some of these old-timers in their 70s, 80s, and 90s, they could recall some of these witnesses and vouch for how credible they were. So that was a plus on our side, at least.
What about things like diaries?
As far as today, no diary has surfaced, no written report, no journal, no photographs, nothing. But we're hoping now that the book's out and we'll get a wider audience that somebody maybe living in California that's a relative that we didn't find may come forward for the next edition of the book. Yeah, we're hoping somebody had to have written down the occurrence in a family lore or taken a photograph of the town when it was in an uproar. So we're hoping some of these things pop up, and they may not. I've been working on some cases for 20 years where things still pop up every few years, and it's not closed yet.
You know, I'm going to ask you in passing, of course, in recent shows we've talked a little bit about the supposed UFO crash in Aztec, New Mexico. But in that particular case, except for one or two witnesses found over the years after the book from Frank Scully came out, there are no local people who remember anything, no paper trail or anything like that. So that makes it almost impossible. And you're dealing here with a case that goes back 110 years. And there's still the newspaper clippings. There's still relatives who remember the experiences of their forebears.
Yes, that made it very difficult that we didn't have anyone to talk to that could be an eyewitness. We didn't have any family members. We didn't have the smoking gun, if you will. Luckily, we did have the history of the town, and that hadn't changed much, including the location of the old abandoned coal mine that was thought to be the lair of this creature or these creatures, as it would turn out to be.
Creatures. Okay, so there were reports of more than one?
On the very last night, as the town is taking matters into their own hands and they're gathering a posse together to exterminate this beast, they gather around the old coal mine and they see this beast that they've been seeing all week. But now, standing next to it is a smaller, identical-looking creature, which may have been the female gender of the species or maybe an offspring, one that wasn't reported, but at least two that were seen that evening. The local brick and tile factory workers who saw this and heard it reported that it sounded like Satan and his imps were rising up from hell for battle, leading me to believe there may have been many, many more of these in that old abandoned mine.
Okay, so you're saying here that at some point in time, the sightings just upped and stopped. After how long?
It was 5 nights of sightings, 1 week, and that's when the posse gathered out at the old coal mine. And when they saw these creatures were coming and going, and it was reported that it looked like they had been doing so for quite some time, the townsfolk got together and tried to come up with the best plan to get rid of these creatures, to exterminate them, to hole up the dam of the old mine. But much like, you know, a true Hollywood scriptwriter would write, that's where it ended. The newspaper just said the town was gathering, looking for the best way to combat these beasts, and that is it. That's it. No more communication on it.
So suddenly, after 5 nights where the town is getting pretty upset over what's going on, where more than one creature is seen, it stops, never, ever, ever to be repeated again?
Not that we know of. Nothing was ever reported again. It may have been that it continued on for another week or a month or so, but they never did another newspaper article on it. And I think the townsfolk were pretty frightened at this point because they gathered, and while they saw this creature emerge from the depths of the coal mine, the newspaper said that the posse let off a fire of bullets that could have sunk the Spanish fleet. That's how many that they let off. But again, no problems whatsoever for the creatures.
They were immune, invulnerable, or something like that. Chad Lewis talking about these mysterious creatures, the Van Meter visitor or visitors. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health
one bag at a time.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Chris, as you know, will avoid trying to sound like a winged creature of the night. Okay, the book is called The Van Meter Visitor, and we're talking to one of the authors, Chad Lewis. Now, I'm kind of put myself in your boots here for a moment. Maybe our listeners will be interested in this. So you hear about this case. You go into this town. You're trying to find out something about it. Did they look on you folks like some kind of weirdos? What are you asking about a monster for?
Usually that's the case. When you make that cold call saying, hey, I'm looking for a story from 1903 of this giant winged creature that terrorized your town. Luckily for us, the local librarian, again, Jelena Welker, said, yeah, I know of that story. What do you want to know? And that's what was amazing about this is that about half the people that we talked with in the town, which were hundreds upon hundreds, they knew of it, but not too much. The details were sketchy. And the other half simply had no idea what we were talking about. And they asked us several times, are you sure you have the right place? But when we went into the library and talked with Jolena, she said, yeah, I still know the old coal mine, the owners of that land now. I can put you in touch with them. And that's exactly what she did. She was able to put us in touch with the owners of the mine, which still have the land, and it's still there. So we were excited thinking, well, if the creature's not here, at least the mine is still here.
Were you able to mount an expedition and go in there, or is it all closed off, or?
It's on the farmer's land. The family's owned it since the early 1900s when it basically was put down. They closed up the mine around the turn 1900. They operated a brick and tile factory right next door to that for a couple decades more. Many of those buildings are still there, barely. They're falling down. They're in disrepair. But the mine itself has been boarded up. Many generations here, decades it's been boarded up, and Mother Nature has done the rest. It covered it over with sand and grass, where now, if you didn't have a guide showing you right where the mine was, you'd have no idea. You would just think it was a hilly area. And this mine was pretty big. It went nearly 700 feet deep. It had miles upon miles of tunnels where they would use mules down there on teams to haul out the coal. It was one of the biggest coal mines in Iowa, and which is another surprise for people thinking Iowa has coal mines, but it was pretty huge, but there's no way back into those mines as of today.
Sounds like great material for a screenplay. This has Hollywood written all over it. Now, for the people who, you know, haven't had the benefit of reading the book, or in your case, researching and writing it, let's give the best general description that we have of the creature, just so people can get a real good sort of mind's eye view of it.
Sure. The best description we have came from a gentleman who was awoken by a gunshot, which another man shot at the creature. And instead of killing it, it just beamed its light on him and released that strange odor, and it wiped out his memory. But the other gentleman across the street, Sidney Gregg, who was a respected businessman, he got the best look at the beast. He saw it descending the telephone pole using its beak like a parrot. He said when it got to the ground, it stood over 8 feet tall and had these giant leather-like featherless wings that it extended. Now, at that same moment, it had that blunt horn on its head that was shining a light. It seemed to self-produce this light. As it crouched down, he thought it was going to run through the town, and then the local train came through, and it seemed to spook the creature. So he said it moved and hopped like a kangaroo as it ran through town and then simply kind of sailed off with its wings extended out toward the direction of the old coal mine. So much like, very similar to some of the Mothman sightings where people saw it flying, but not actually flapping its wings, almost as though it had the power to fly just with its wings extended.
Very fast question here. Is there a history in this community of other strange events over the years, or is this a singular set of events that stands unto itself?
Well, like much of Iowa, during that time, there were tons of haunted stories. Just about an hour and a half north, they had a sea serpent. Actually, in the Raccoon River, which runs through Van Meter, there was talk of there being a sea serpent there. Of course, there were UFO reports around the same time period. So it does seem to be a paranormal hotspot.
Okay, so I was saying we wouldn't be talking about UFOs, but I guess we are. All right, so this appears to be a place where lots of events happen. What about monsters, creatures like that?
No, not that we know of. And most people are familiar in that area with the traditional creatures. Many people are hunters, they're fishermen and fisherwomen. They know what's in the area. You know, they hunt bear, they hunt deer quite a bit, of course, even some turkey hunters there. So people are out in the woods. It's very rural. So I think that when people are out there, they would recognize that this wasn't what some people claim is it was a pelican or just a winged bat or other known animals that were misidentified. So I think that's one thing, too, is the townsfolk are pretty good about identifying animals. So if something were coming out that was in the field of cryptozoology, they would certainly report it.
Now, looking over the literature, and I know, of course, that Lauren Coleman, who has studied cryptozoology for many years, made a very favorable comment about your work. And that is, if you look around the world, do you find anything like this particular creature close, other than possibly Mothman?
Yes. Actually, when we started digging up these flying cryptids, if you will, these bat-like creatures, we had a report around almost the same time out in Utah where people were seeing this giant bat creature, but it seemed to be even bigger than the Van Meter one. As some said, it was carrying off horses. That's how big it was. And there are a few newspaper accounts with an illustration of this giant bat creature, you know, carrying off this horse in its talons. So this creature was reported. Of course, we also bring up, you know, the Snallygaster that was out on the East Coast. Some people have claimed it looks more or sounds like the Jersey Devil out in the Pine Barrens. So there's a lot of similarities, but yet again, hearkening back to the beginning, that there's a lot of differences as well.
Now, the skeptics will say that the newspapers of the time were apt to make up stories to gain circulation. So they'd sit there, they concoct reports of alleged creatures or whatever, just to get people to buy the paper.
Yes, and that happened quite a bit. I've done several books on old newspaper accounts from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And half the fun of some of these reports is to determine whether or not you believe them. When you hear of a case out of Wisconsin of a half-human, half-monkey boy being born, you start to think, was it a slow day or did this really happen? Because back then, no one could verify your work. Nobody was going to Google to make sure that you were telling the truth. So those reports did happen, but usually they would make up a name of somebody in town that didn't exist. It would never involve some of the most reputable people and include direct quotes from them. So that's what I think this stood out about the Van Meter case, is that it did have all these people that we could tie back to the town.
Another interesting possible correlation or similarity is to the Ropan in New Guinea. which is a almost a pterodactyl appearing flying creature, but it also has some sort of self-illumination. It glows. And that to me is an interesting correlation. The Ropan are also, I guess in the tradition there, thought to be grave robbers. They dig up freshly interred bodies as food. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, I'm really intrigued by this glowing horn and the light beam and the noxious gas. How much do we know about that? How many actual victims were overcome by this particular part of the equation?
As far as we know, there were two instances where the creature released this gas, and I'm not sure if it did it on purpose or if it was a defense mechanism, because both times it released it, it was being shot at. The first time it released it was on Thursday night, Friday morning, again, 1 a.m. That's when a local hardware store owner, Ovi White, took deliberate aim at the creature that was sleeping on the telephone pole. He shot at it, thought he hit it, thought he killed it, but instead it just flashed its light on Ovi White and then released that odor. And Ovi White said as soon as that odor hit him, he remembered nothing more of the evening.
Now, that's an interesting question, too. This memory gas, I'm going to ask you when we get back after our break whether, after this memory is wiped from these people, whether it ever returns. That's an interesting case. We have Chad Lewis joining Gene and Chris. The monsters are upon us because you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Summertime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best-selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for summer at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.